Well, just looking back over the course of this past week, we've still got mixed evidence in the US about economic activity. But one of the themes which is starting to drive through this is that it looks as if growth is running somewhat stronger than previously expected. And at the same time, there are some signs that inflation is lifting. Now, of course, this goes against the latest guidance from the Federal Reserve, where they're indicating that the time has come where they can look at lowering interest rates again, probably in September, and the market's bought that view. But it's interesting. The data's looking more mixed than that. So over this past week, if you're looking at things like housing data, well, yeah, there's a little bit of softness in there. We had July new home sales, and they were down by 0.6%. Having said that, they came after big upward revision for the previous month, up 4.1%. And it was the same story with pending home sales, where they look ahead. They're looking rather weaker. So they were down 0.4% for the most recent month, after being down 0.8% for the month before. But then we look at where growth has been, and sure, it's a rearward-looking indicator, and this is the second reading of second quarter GDP out in the United States, but surprisingly, it was revised upwards. It was already looking pretty firm, admittedly for some fairly specific reasons relating to the trade contribution to growth. It was already on the early estimate running at 3% annualized growth in the second quarter. It was revised up to 3.3. The market didn't expect that. And interestingly, one of the bedrocks for growth in the US over the past year or so has been consumer spending. That sort of fell away a bit going back to the first quarter. Well, in the second quarter, it did lift to 1.4% annualized when we got the advance reading of Q2 GDP. That was revised upwards, and it's been revised upwards to 1.6%. So it appears as if the past has been a little bit stronger than previously realised. And then we had some other July indicators, which really should give a little bit of cause for concern because they're still running pretty strongly. July personal income, July personal spending data, they were up. Relative to where they were the month before both of those were up by 0.3% month on month each. In July, personal income had improved to 0.4% month on month, and personal spending was quite strong, 0.5%. Typically with personal spending, you very rarely see them much stronger than 0.5, 0.6 in this last period. There's the odd spikes upwards, but not many, so that's actually reasonably significant. And on top of that, the personal consumption expenditure deflator that goes along with that data, this is the alternative to the consumer price index in the United States. And for July, the core personal consumption expenditure, it wasn't that it was a surprise, but it's showing that inflation is just trickling up. So we had a 0.3% month-on-month gain. That was enough to take the annual rate just up one notch from 2.8% to 2.9%. We're motoring towards 3% on these inflation indicators, and that's quite well above the Fed's target of 2%. So it's just this hint that things may be moving a little bit more strongly, and that we've just got this little bit of growth coming through on the inflation side as well, that might lead to a change in the picture for what the Fed does with interest rates before we go much further. They may still try to get a cut away in September, but it might be a cautious cut. So we'll wait and see how that progresses as we go later this month when the Fed meets. This week, it's going to be a quiet start to the week because it's a holiday in the US. It's Labor Day on the Monday. And this week, we get some forward-looking indicators. They are the ISM, Manufacturing PMI, and also the ISM non-manufacturing PMI, and they all come out before the latest labour market data right at the end of the week. Taking the ISM data first, there's an expectation that they'll, again, will edge upwards. So the manufacturing PMI, the ISM manufacturing PMI, which is out on Tuesday night into Wednesday morning our time, it was at 48 on this particular reading. It's expected to lift to 48.9. That's still below the 50 expansion contraction marker, but it's significant that it's working its way up through the high 40s rather than showing some signs of decline. And then the ISM non-manufacturing PMI, that comes out on Thursday going into Friday, and that one had flipped back up above 50. We did have 1 month there, going back 2 months ago, where it went just below the 50 mark. Last month it flipped back up to 50.1. It's expected to move a little bit higher to 50.5. Those two really key leading indicators suggest that the economy may not be as strong, the numbers, as 3.3 that we saw in the second quarter. But we are showing signs of improvement, not deterioration. So there's no real risk of recession in those numbers. It's still looking as if we've got some reasonable growth ahead of us. And that's expected to be the story with the labour data later in the week. We get the August non-farm payrolls. Last month, they were up 73,000. You may recall it was the revisions to the earlier months that got President Trump excited and annoyed, where he sacked the head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And that was because they were showing only 12 to 14,000 growth in non-farm payrolls going back before the month of July. Well, July there was a bit of a flip upwards to 73,000. It's expected to be around about 74,000 for the month of August. Now, something that's important to realise with that is that although that may seem like a lower reading relative to where we've been in the past, it's probably about enough to keep a sort of lid on the unemployment rate. Why does it do that? Well, it's because the supply of labour is being hit hard by some of President Trump's policies. He's been busy deporting people who can't show proper immigration status. So we've got supply of labour really being restricted, and you don't need an awful lot of growth in non-farm payrolls to keep the unemployment rate steady in that type of environment. Admittedly, the market does think that the unemployment rate is going to tick up one notch to 4.3 from 4.2. They almost want that because that would be perhaps an indicator that would help the Fed to think about a 25 basis point rate cut when it gets through to its meeting. But something else to watch is just average hourly earnings that comes out on Friday as well in the United States. That one previous month was up 0.3%, was up 3.9% year on year. Looking for another 0.3% increase month on month, and that'll still be around about 3.8, 3.9% year on year in terms of the annual rate. And that, of course, is travelling above the inflation rate. And it's just one of those factors which means that one thing you can't guarantee in the US is that inflation comes down. It's going to get sticky or going up. And that's going to be the tricky part when we come to looking at the way in which the Fed can move interest rates going forward. Even a Fed that's compromised by the president if he tries to cut into the independence of the Federal Reserve. And of course, that becomes a very, very tricky issue down the track. If he's trying to force the Fed to lower interest rates at a time when you're starting to see resilience in some of the growth statistics and a lift in inflation, that is something which really would be pretty destabilising as far as bond market sentiment is concerned. So it's something that's just there bubbling away on the horizon. We're just watching how that pans out. Moving to China, nothing of note last week. We're just waiting for the various purchasing managers' indices that come out the turn of the month. They should be out very shortly today for the manufacturing PMI, the non-manufacturing PMI. The manufacturing PMI was 49.3, just below the 50 mark. Expecting it to lift slightly to 49.5. The non-manufacturing PMI was 50.1. Going back last month, expects to lift slightly to 50.3. There's a sort of muddling through process happening in China. China looked like an economy which is going to get hit so hard by President Trump's tariff program. Well, we know that there's been some negotiations happening between China and the US on specific industries and also relating to where the tariffs might fall for China. The other point, of course, is that even those tariff changes themselves, we've got the court challenges to those at the moment in the United States. So it'll be interesting to see just how that pans out. The next step for that is to go to the High Court, but remembering that the High Court is stacked by Trump appointees. So it's just watching how all that determines as we go further forward. But the things which are moving slightly in China's favour, apart from the trade negotiations, which are slightly better than where we thought China might be going back a month or two back, the other part is basically that that long-standing decline in property prices, whilst it's not gone away, it's sort of moderated over the course of the last 11, 12 months. And that was one of the big headwinds which was running against people feeling good and spending more in China. We've not got any evidence of that yet running through the data. If anything, the retail sales data has been weaker over the last month or two. But there's a hint of optimism running relative to China. And just a hint, in a very lowly valued market, such as, for example, the Chinese share market, over the last couple of months, you've seen very significant rises just running through some of the valuations running through there. Moving to Australia, and it was an interesting week here too. It's that same feeling that the growth is not quite as soft as perhaps the Reserve Bank is thinking. We saw it there with some of the indicators that came out last week. So we had Q2 construction work done. That was up 3%, much more than expected. And that compares with down 0.3% going back the quarter before. Clearly. And it was largely engineering work that ran through that. That was the one that lifted a lot. It was up over 6% quarter on quarter. There will be some contribution of that towards GDP growth. We had private new capital expenditure, and it was up, maybe not as much as the market expected, but it was up 0.2%. Going back Q1, it was down 0.2%. So again, a rather better outcome for that than was expected or than occurred going back to Q1. We also had the July monthly CPI. And this one was a bit of a shock because it was always going to lift because the way in which electricity prices would move inside the monthly CPI. And boy, did they move. They moved from minus 8 point whatever going back the month before to plus 5 point whatever on the year-on-year basis. And so that was one factor. We knew that was going to be there. And so that lifted the July CPI way more than expected. The market was looking for 2.3% year-on-year from 1.9% going back the month before. It lifted from 1.9% to 2.8%, so right up towards the upper end of the range. And the key one that the Reserve Bank looks at, the trimmed mean, that had a fairly significant lift too, from 2.4 to 2.7. And inside that, other than electricity prices, the other big movers were things like basic foodstuffs. They were up 3% year-on-year. Also the housing components running again, starting to show some lift. Now, that was always going to happen, the way that we're pouring fuel onto the housing market, both through government policy and low mortgage rates. They wouldn't have expected that you're going to get housing inflation coming through pretty quickly again, but it's starting to show. And so, this really is a bit of a fly in the ointment as far as expectations of further interest rate cuts here are concerned, particularly if it's occurring alongside relatively firm growth. And that brings us to what's going to happen this week. We get the Q2 GDP report out, and the Reserve Bank, to be consistent with their forecasts, they really need something around just a little bit below 0.5% quarter on quarter. It looks as if we're going to get at least 0.5% quarter on quarter, and that would then mean that the annual rates would lift from 1.3% year on year, where it was in Q1, to 1.6, 1.7, or maybe even a little bit more in Q2. That means that their whole premise that growth is only going to gently lift towards 2% later this year and in the beginning of next year, it looks as if it's running rather firmer than that. And so that means that if you've already got some evidence inflation's lifting, this is only going to keep it there. And so their inflation forecasts are at risk. And so this is where, the expectations that, they can cut again later this year and continue cutting next year, it's just starting to look looking quite wobbly. So watching that as the data comes through the course of this week. We do have some contributions to that growth rate still to come out. Early this week, we'll get things like company profits, inventories. We'll get Q second quarter current account position and the net export contribution to growth. So, and also government spending contribution to growth. All those numbers come out ahead of the Q2 GDP, so we'll have a firmer read, and you might see some wobbles when those numbers come out both today and tomorrow before the Q2 GDP reading comes out on Wednesday. Moving to Europe. Pretty quiet there last week because all we had was the August reading of business and consumer confidence. It just settled back a little bit. It's okay. It was sort of, it was 95.7 on revision going back to July. It was expected to hold around that level or improve a little bit. It didn't. It sort of slipped a little bit to 95.2, so just slightly softer number there coming out from Europe. And this week in Europe, we get quite a range of data coming out. We get things like the latest unemployment rate. Unemployment has been running at a 25-year low in Europe and is expected to stay there when it comes out for the month of July. 6.2% for the unemployment rate in Europe, which sounds high by our standards, but is very low by European standards. So it's expected to stay at 6.2. On Tuesday, we get the preliminary August consumer price index. That's expected to hold at 2% for the headline CPI. Core CPI was 2.3% going back the month before, might slip slightly to 2.2. It's around the ECB's target level, which means that they haven't got much wriggle room in terms of lowering rates any further because already they've got their deposit rate at 2%. So there's it's an indication that if anything, even European inflation might lift a little bit as we go later this year. We get retail sales out of Europe. They had a reasonable lift by European standards going back to June. They were up 0.3%, but expect to slip maybe a little bit in July. And we also get a revision of Q2 GDP. GDP has been running quite well by European standards. You rarely see GDP growth even getting towards 2% year on year. Well, back in Q1, we were at 1.5% year on year. We slipped a little bit to 1.4. In Q2, we expect to stay at 1.4. So, Europe, which, going back a year ago, was sort of skirting recession and some of the bigger economies were in recession, is out of recession but not growing particularly strongly. So that's the sort of the look of things so far. So it's an interesting world because we've certainly got some very, very optimistic valuations running through many risk assets, including most share markets, also extending to obviously credit, and the spreads are very, very narrow as well. As far as the US is concerned, well, in some ways we've got growth, which is probably a little bit better than expected, but there's an inflation risk. So the expectation in markets that the Fed can resume cutting interest rates in September, it may be dashed at times as data comes through. And it's a similar story here for Australia too, that our hopes of lower interest rates might be dashed as we go a little bit further forward. It could be a little bit more volatile running through most markets over the course of the next week or two.